Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gileadi, and my good friend Stephen Garchar will be here in a moment, but I think we have him on the phone. Are you there, Steve?
Yes, I am, Phil.
Yes, excellent. He is on his way back to the studio after doing some very important mission work, and he should be joining us live in about 10 minutes.
Yes, I will.
You know, we have Steve mostly on the road, and, you know, he's got a lot of distance to travel, and he's always got this distance thing going on. He's always in different places.
Tremendous amounts of distance to travel.
Yeah.
To cover the kingdom, you have to travel tremendous amounts of distance. Yes.
The kingdom is a big place.
It is a very big place.
Anyway, so we are here now, and we've done the last few shows on abundant life, and we've done three or four shows on Pentecost and the experience that the disciples had in being emboldened in their ministry by the Holy Spirit after Pentecost. And today we're going to shift back into a new series, but what I call a fundamental series. We're going to talk about the cross.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to the show any length of time, you know that Stephen and I talk a lot about the basic message of salvation, especially how it develops through the Old Testament, the Tanakh, and how God reveals not only his nature and not only his law and his plans through the Tanakh, but also gives us prefigurements and types of what salvation in the Messiah is going to be like.
Right.
Until we get to the book of Hebrews, where it says these things were types and shadows, and Jesus, Yeshua, is the substance of these things. And now we have the substance, so we don't go back to the types and the shadows, although it's important to know those things, because it gives you really a much fuller picture of the whole plan of salvation as it unfolds through the Scripture.
Yes.
And the cross, obviously, is the center of this. And the cross is what all this is pointing to. And you have to keep in mind two things about the Bible. Number one, it's a book about Jesus. And number two is it's a book about Middle Easterners. It's not a book about Americans or Europeans or Africans or South Americans. It's about Middle Easterners. And everything in it points to Jesus, is Jesus, and looks back at what he did. So as he told the Pharisees, you search the scrolls for eternal life, and you're doing good by doing that, but all the scrolls are about me.
Yeah.
And his act here, his act of sacrifice on the cross, is the center of salvation history.
Right, exactly.
And this is what we're going to talk about, at least this show and next week, and maybe longer, because we never know. After many hours of rehearsal, we never know how far it's going to go.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Sometimes we rehearse as long as a minute or two.
Longer than a minute?
Yeah.
Well, like you're saying, this cross is the central point of Christianity, of our salvation. Not just Christianity, but our salvation in Christ. And there's power in the cross because that's the instrument that God chose to defeat Satan. And through the obedience of Jesus, he wins that salvation. He pays the debt for our sins by the shedding of his blood, by his passion on the cross, and by his death on the cross, and by his resurrection. We're raised with him to eternal life.
Yes.
The cross is a stumbling block for those who don't believe.
Right.
But it's also salvation for those who do believe.
Right.
So there's this paradox with the cross that, God chooses this instrument of crucifixion that the Romans perfected as the means of what's going to earn us salvation, what's going to bring us salvation through the death of his son.
Yes. And as we talk about how we need now in the world. It's not just in our country, but in the whole world. We need a new evangelization. Mm-hmm. And people have to understand that evangelization means showing people how they're saved. And you describe it really well there with, you said the cross is the instrument of salvation. And people in our culture don't necessarily understand that. In fact, they don't understand that. And, you know, St. Paul, we're going to talk about later, Paul talks to the Corinthians and says, you know, the cross is an offense to those that are perishing. They just don't get it.
Right.
And people in our culture just don't get it because it sounds kind of, you know, ridiculous, and it's an instrument of execution, an instrument of torture. And the fundamental problem that people have is they don't understand that they're actually sinners, that they actually stand condemned before a holy God, and that this is the need for why there had to be this cross in the first place. Mm-hmm. Because after all, people now think that they're fine, everybody's fine, you're okay, I'm okay. What's right for you may not be right for him. What's right for him may not be right for her, but we're all okay. We're all right. And in order to really understand this, like everything else in the scriptures, you have to go back to the Garden of Eden, which, you know, a lot of people think was a fable. But interestingly, if it was a fable, then Jesus really bought into this because he talked about Adam a lot. And St. Paul talked about the second Adam and the first Adam. But back in the garden, you know, we see the consequences of sin and disobedience. Mm-hmm. The law was broken. Our original parents had only one law to follow. And as I always say, they couldn't manage that. I mean, they couldn't manage to do one thing.
Right.
And so there were consequences to this. And the question, too, you need to ask yourself is, why, after this happened, did God just not overlook the sin? You know, why doesn't he just overlook everyone's sin and say, oh, well, it's okay. Don't bother me. You're okay. Don't worry. And the fact is that God would violate his own nature if he overlooked sin. Mm-hmm. Because his nature is to be all holy and all just, along with many other alls, and you know them all. But because he's all just and all holy, he can't tolerate sin, because imperfection can't be with him, can't be in his presence.
Right.
And this is where the whole plan of salvation starts.
Mm-hmm.
And in Genesis 3, where the humans fall, you know, in verse 21, it says, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. And right. This really, you know, God covered them with animal skins.
Yeah.
So something had to die to cover the sinful people. Something had to die because of the sin they had committed. And a sacrifice was made to cover, and the word, you know, the idea of cover is the important thing here. Covered these two people who now were sinners and now stood condemned. And this was really the first, sacrifice.
Well, you know, you bring up an excellent introduction to this, because I don't think I've ever heard someone talk about the fact that something had to die as a result of the sin of Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And that was another living creature.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be sacrificed so that they can be covered.
Yeah. Hmm. You know, sin brings death. You know, later on, Paul's going to write, you know, the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
And all men sin, therefore all men die. And, you know, sin brings death in a physical way, in a spiritual way. And it's very real. And in this case, you know, we're going to get to the cross, which, of course, is very real. But as we go through the Torah, you see this initialization of sacrifice, blood sacrifice, blood atonement for sin. Because people sinned, something had to die. And an innocent victim had to die for that sin. And an innocent victim had to bleed. An innocent victim had to have its blood shed and sprinkled on the altar. these were types and shadows. And the reason this was in the Torah was not so much that for the next 7 or 8 or 10,000 years or however long we go on, we're going to be sacrificing animals. It was in the Torah because it was prefiguring what was going to happen to Messiah. And we have Stephen now in the studio, back from his journey.
Back from a chariot of fire.
Welcome to WHKW 1220 The Word.
It's good to be here with you.
He's here live now. So you all can relax out there. So these blood sacrifices were the types and the shadows because as I was saying earlier, God is just and all holy. The people could not approach him because the people were sinners and they couldn't approach the holy things. So you know the story that the Ark of the Covenant, which had the presence of God hovering over it and God's law inside of it, only the high priest could go in with the blood of animals once a year to sprinkle blood on the mercy seat for atonement of the sins that the people had. So that in the presence of God, blood would come.
Right.
He would see the blood, which was an atonement for the sin, and then the sins would be atoned for. This was, of course, the Feast of Yom Kippur.
Right.
So first in the tent and then in the temple, it was the same. And later on, you know, we're going to read, we'll have Stephen read since he got here. The writer to the Hebrews says these things were a copy of the heavenly sanctuary. And the reason God had them construct these things in a very particular way, you could only approach in a way that was ordained by him and was acceptable to him, and it involved blood. And these were prefigurements, and these were types, and these were shadows, because those of you that are believers already know what we're getting at, that through the blood of Jesus, we now approach the throne.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't have a clue what I'm talking about, keep listening, because this is going to be the most important thing you hear in your life, because you're being deceived by the culture around you to make you think that you're okay.
Exactly. And there's a lot of deception. Obviously, there's a lot of deception. There's a lot of voices that vie for our attention in our culture, from whether it's television, whether it's social media, whether it's, you know, anything that vies for our attention and has a message of, you don't need to believe in that. That's all rubbish stuff. St. Paul says, everything else that I did have, I count as loss.
Now I
only want to preach Christ and him crucified.
Exactly.
Because I want to be, he's preaching in the power of the cross.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so the world has, our culture has turned things upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And wants people to believe, you don't need that. You don't need God.
Mm-hmm.
You're self-sufficient. You can do this on your own. You don't need a savior.
Yeah.
You're okay.
All this cross stuff is nonsense.
Yeah. It's all bigotry. It's all hatred. Mm-hmm. It's all, you know, it's love.
Mm-hmm.
Because
exactly.
God so loved us that he sent his only son to die for our sins on the cross.
Exactly.
And be raised from the dead.
Exactly. Good point. And while Stephen's getting settled,
the chariot right up here was quite Elijah really travels pretty fast.
In the book of Hebrews, and nobody knows for sure who wrote the book of Hebrews, but the writer to the Hebrews, because the letter is called Hebrews, was obviously writing to Hebrews. He was obviously writing to Jewish people. And in chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, he said, who served the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make, he being God, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he, capital H, is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on a better promise. Mm-hmm. The first covenant was based on blood.
Mm-hmm.
It was the blood of animals. Moses was the mediator. The new covenant is based on blood. It's the blood of Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, and he is the eternal high priest. Right. He's the mediator of the covenant. He's the sacrifice. His blood is the way that salvation is obtained.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen, if you're going to find Hebrews chapter 4.
I do have a chapter 4.
Good. We're going to read 14, 15, and 16.
Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help.
Yeah.
Wow.
So as the high priest of the covenant, he's passed through the heaven, like the human high priest passed through the veil and into the Holy of Holies. Jesus, as the eternal high priest, has passed through the heavens with his own blood.
Yeah.
And I like that. I love that passage because it makes the connection, as the whole book of Hebrews does, with the high priest and the sacrifice. The high priest made the animal sacrifice, which was a temporary thing. And first he had to make sacrifices for himself and then for the people. Jesus, the high priest, goes through, you know, he sympathizes with our weaknesses because he's human,
right?
But doesn't have any sin of his own to offer sacrifice for. Right. So he just passes right through the veil and comes to the throne. And we now, it says, can boldly approach the throne, which basically means because of this blood of our high priest, the veil is gone.
Mm-hmm.
The separation is gone.
Exactly.
And now we live in a totally different situation than Moses and the people were living in.
Right. And it's what, you know, we talk about this, we will talk about this through the season of Lent, especially on Good Friday, Holy Saturday, into Easter, the resurrection of the Lord, that when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the Holy of Holies in the temple was exposed.
Yes.
And if we understand what happened in the Old Testament when they offered sacrifice in the temple, when the priest offered an acceptable sacrifice, the veil of the temple was, the priest themselves opened it, and the Holy of Holies was exposed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But no one pulled the veil this time.
Right. That's right.
no high priest, no Levite, Levitical priest pulled the veil this time.
Right.
God himself pulled the veil to show that it was his acceptable sacrifice to the Father.
Yeah. I love the book of Hebrews because it ties all this together.
And, you know, as Christians, as believers, and even as non-believers, if you wonder what Easter's all about, if you wonder what Holy Week is all about, this is it. This is a central part of what Holy Week is all about. It's the cross.
Yes.
And it's the instrument that God chose for our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And, as we said, you know, to some people, it's foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
They scoff at it.
Mm-hmm.
And in our culture, you know, we want to do away with, we like to sanitize things.
Sure.
Even in the church, we like to sanitize things.
Sure.
Like, well, we really don't want to talk about the crucifixion too much because people are uncomfortable with it. It makes them squeamish.
Yeah, it's very messy.
And it is very messy. Mm-hmm. And it is very painful.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also very real.
Yes.
It's also the reality of what we need to understand and come to understand that was the remedy for my sin, for your sin, and for everybody else who hears and who isn't hearing. Mm-hmm. It's everybody's sin. Mm-hmm. He died for all the sins of the world.
And it shows you what a horrible thing sin is.
Yeah.
That this is the only remedy for it.
And like you pointed out, Adam and Eve sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Something had to die so that they can be covered.
Yes. We're going to talk about remedies in a second, but I think we're coming close. Oh, we are close to a break. This is not Paul Wilbur.
Is he on vacation?
Yes. This is Joel Chernoff. Not live here in the studio like he almost was once, but this is him on CD. We'll be right back. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org.
Messiah has come. It says in his word, cleanse everyone. atonement he made. Iniquity for you, that we can find life with him evermore. The sacrifice lamb has been slain, his blood on your to rusty, to wipe away guilt and pain, to bring hope eternal. Salvation has come to the world, God's only Son, to the world, Jesus the one for the world, Yeshua. Prophets of old speak much of Messiah. His death is foretold, the purpose is clear. Isaiah did say, hey, was for an atonement to give us a way that leads not to death. The sacrifice lamb has been slain, his blood on the altar, to wipe away guilt and pain, to bring hope eternal. Salvation has come to the world, God's own Son, to the world, Jesus the one. Yeshua is here.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's Joel Chernoff with The Sacrifice Lamb.
Yes.
Oof, awesome song.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since we're talking about types and shadows, and we're talking about lessons from the Tanakh, and it's even from the Torah itself, the first five books of Moses, we're going to have Stephen read some passages from Numbers chapter 21, which the people who were there at the time this happened couldn't possibly understand how we're going to see this, because they were living 1,500 years or so before Jesus. But Steve, why don't you just read Numbers 21, verses 5 to 6.
Okay. So the people complained against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in the wilderness, where there is no food or water? We are disgusted with this wretched food. So the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the people so that many of the Israelites died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you. Pray to the Lord to take the serpents from us."
Mm. Yeah, hold there for a minute.
Yeah, okay.
So here we go. The people in the wilderness, there's rebellion going on. They're being provided manna every day. They're being provided water when they need it. And they say, "We're tired of this bread. And we've had it with this. You know, what are we doing out here?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are rebelling against God's provision, against his deliverance, really against his very nature.
Yeah.
They're rebelling. There's nothing here. You know what? The original translation says, our souls loathe this worthless bread.
Ooh.
Ooh. Now, remember, a lot of things about Jesus have to do with bread, so keep that in mind, too.
Yes.
So we're sick of this bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents. They bit the people and they died. So the people said, whoa, wait a minute. You know, people are dying here because these serpents are coming and they're biting them and it's causing horrible pain and then they die.
Mm-hmm.
So then people realize they've sinned and they realize that they've rebelled against God and now they were getting the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So again, sin had brought death. This time people were dying, literally, physically. So they say to Moses, Moses, you got to do something, man. You know, a couple of verses ago, they were saying, why'd this guy bring us out here? You know, let's pick a new leader and go back to Egypt.
Yeah.
Now they're saying, Moses, you got to do something.
We take it all back.
Yeah, this is bad news. So Moses becomes a mediator. And so he goes to God and says, listen, we got to do something. Mm-hmm. You got to do something here. The people are dying. So God presents a cure for this.
I think I see where you're going with this.
Yeah. God provides the cure. So why don't you start reading at 8 and read 8 and 9.
Okay. So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, make a seraph and mount it on a pole, and everyone who has been bitten will look at it and recover. Accordingly, Moses made a bronze serpent and mounted it on a pole, and whenever the serpent bit someone, the people looked at the bronze serpent and recovered.
Hmm. So God gives Moses this kind of weird thing to do.
Yeah.
Make a bronze image of the thing that's biting the people. These are fiery serpents. They're fiery red or they're orange or they're something, and their bites burn you and then you die. So God says, make an image of this out of bronze, put it on a pole. Then you hold the pole up, and whoever's been bitten by the serpent, if they look at the pole, they're going to recover from their sin. Now, you can kind of see where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
The image looked like the real thing, but didn't have the poison. It didn't have the venom in it. It was just an image of one,
mm-hmm.
but it looked like the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, Paul writes, for what the law could not do, because it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So on the cross, Jesus is on the cross looking like sinful flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The serpent's on the pole looking like a serpent,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't really a serpent.
Right.
It didn't have the venom. Jesus looks like sinful flesh, but he didn't have the venom. He didn't have the disease because he didn't have sin. Each person had to look at the pole in order to be saved from their disease, to be saved from their sin. They had to individually look in faith. Moses said, look, I'm going to put this serpent up on a pole. You look at this image and you'll be okay. You'll be cured. So they did it. We don't know if they all did it. Probably not. Most of them, some of them, all of them, we don't know. But in faith, taking the word of Moses, if you've been bit by this serpent and you're going to die, you look at this pole that has the image on it,
mm-hmm.
and you're cured from the bite. You're cured from the venom. You're cured from the disease. You're cured from sin. The image was lifted up, and it was set before all the people. So everyone had to look. It was lifted up in a way that everybody could see it. And this was the only cure for this problem. You couldn't go see the doctor in the camp and said, hey, I just got bit by this serpent.
I'm going to help you.
Can you give me some pills?
You
got anything I could put on this? You know, kind of some pain meds or something. No, the only cure was you had to look at this pole that was lifted up in front of all the people.
Hmm.
In John chapter 3, 14 and 15, Jesus says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So in other words, people who are bitten have the disease, have the venom. In faith, they look at the pole and they're cured / saved. Jesus said, the Son of Man's going to be lifted up just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. And if they believe, they're not going to perish. And you see, the interesting thing too is each person has to look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I get bit by the serpent, I can't say to Stephen, could you go out and just look at the serpent and tell him that, you know, I'm over here bitten too? Everybody's got to look.
Exactly.
You know, just like everyone had to tell the Passover story in the first person, everyone had to look at the serpent. Yeah. Everyone has to go to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go to the cross for you. You can't go to the cross for me. We all have to go and in faith come and say, we've got sin and we're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the only way we can handle it.
Yeah.
This is the only way we can be saved from it.
Yeah. You know, it's as a community of believers, as the body of Messiah, we certainly want to work together in the kingdom.
Yeah.
But it is an individual action that we have to take.
Yes.
No, you know, everyone has to look upon the cross and confront the patterns of sin in their life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you have to do it individually.
You have to do it individually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you're talking about that, it's so powerful because when you look upon the cross, when you look upon a crucifix, I don't mean just a cross that, you know, just a cross without a corpus on it.
Mm-hmm.
You look at a crucifix and you see the body of Jesus there. It's a remembrance of what he did and what happened and what transpired. Mm-hmm. You know, and when Mel Gibson made his film, The Passion of the Christ, oh man, you know, oh, it's brutal. Ugh. How could you know, it's violent. Yeah, it was violent. It was even more violent than what was portrayed in that picture.
Yes.
In that movie.
Yes. He was unrecognizable.
He was unrecognizable, mm-hmm. beaten into that he didn't even look like a man.
Yes.
So if we, you know, and this is what I say, when I say, you know, we try to sanitize things,
mm-hmm.
because the horror and the reality of what sin is well beyond our comprehension, I think.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, exactly.
It if we truly saw what sin does,
mm-hmm.
we would flee from it.
Yes.
Because we couldn't handle it.
Yeah. And you're bringing up the Passion of the Christ is an excellent example, because mm-hmm. when you see this brutality, this horrible scene, this is all because of sin. Mm-hmm. It's all because of love, but it's because of sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way that sin can be dealt with. These people had to look at the serpent. It's the only way it mm-hmm. could be dealt with.
Yeah.
In John 12:32, Jesus says, if I'm lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men to myself. So, you know, here again, you know, he basically refers to this bronze serpent account twice in the book of John. He's lifted up, just like the serpent was lifted up. And, you know, we'll get to about the serpent, but, you know, Jesus had the image of sinful flesh, but he didn't have sin. The right. serpent that was on the cross wasn't a real serpent. It looked like a serpent, mm-hmm. but it didn't have the sin, didn't have right. the venom, didn't have the disease in it. And everyone had to look. Everyone knew that they were guilty.
Mm. Yeah.
They knew they were guilty of this rebellion. They knew they were under judgment. And they knew that when the serpent bit them, they were going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So what they had left to do was, I got to go look at the serpent because I don't want to die.
Either I look at the serpent or I die.
Yeah. We see people around us. We can't tell what's going on. People don't know what's going on, but we see people there around us that have sin and they die. Mm-hmm. And what's worse is they have an eternal death.
Right.
Physical death is nothing compared to the eternal right. death. And we don't want that. So in right. faith, we go to the cross. We go look at the cross and say, I can't deal with this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I need forgiveness. I need to be restored. I don't want to die with this venom in me.
Yeah. Yeah, you bring up Jesus talks about the second death. There's the physical death and there's also the spiritual death that we yeah. will all encounter exactly. and go through. But in the wilderness, the Israelites were going to experience that physical death
mm-hmm.
if they didn't look at the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a choice to make.
Yep.
And we also have that choice to make. We're going to die a spiritual death if we don't look mm-hmm. at our redemption,
mm-hmm.
the one who gives us redemption. Exactly. If we don't look at Jesus on the cross.
Exactly.
And we, you know, and I come to terms with where I am and who I am and where I stand before God. If I'm really honest with myself, I have to recognize that I'm a sinful person.
Mm-hmm.
I still commit, you know, I still sin. And I still have to go to God and ask for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I still have to look upon the one who took my sins and ask for forgiveness, that I'm mm-hmm. that I'm saved.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
The parallels with this is I think one of the most powerful types of Messiah that you see any place in the Torah
mm-hmm.
or any place in the Tanakh for that matter. And this was the only way that they could be delivered. You know, God didn't say to Moses, "We'll do this, and if the people feel like coming to do this, they'll be okay. If they don't feel like it or they want to go do the other thing, well, you know, maybe they'll be okay too. We don't know. There might be a lot of other ways to get cured." No, he said, "This is the only way that you're going to get cured."
And you notice that God didn't take away the fiery serpents either.
That's right. That's right. They were still there biting the people.
They were still there biting the people.
Yeah.
Just like sin is still prevalent in our world.
Yeah.
Biting us.
Boy, that's for sure. And it's all, it's everywhere. It's all around us.
Mm-hmm.
The power of it is overwhelming, but it's been disguised
mm-hmm.
by a lot of deceit and a lot of, kind of devious messages of, oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You can't possibly believe that.
Right.
That's like what they thought 3,000 years ago. Nobody thinks that way anymore. Mm-hmm. Come on, you got to get with it.
Right.
And so they don't know that they got the disease.
Right. And, you know, part of our call as being believers in Messiah, as being Christians, is not just that I believe in Christ, but that I have the power in and through Christ,
mm-hmm.
as he says, to, you know, heal the sick.
Yeah.
Jesus said, you're going to do these things and greater things than I did.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus raised people from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Like rose Lazarus from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are signs that are going to accompany all who follow me, all who are believers in me.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're, if we go to the cross and empty ourselves, you know, we, in baptism, we die to self. You know, we're to die to ourselves and rise again with Christ. Just as, you know, he rose from the dead because he took sin upon himself and mm-hmm. rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
He took all the sin upon himself and rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in that we find our redemption.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
We're confronted with our own sinfulness in the reality of what took place on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of, you know, for many people, it's a hard thing to talk about because it confronts us with the reality of the brutalness of sin mm-hmm. and the brutalness of what Jesus had to go through
yes.
for our sins.
Yes.
And you know, we don't really want to admit that, gosh, he had to die that horrible of a death
mm-hmm.
because of me.
Right.
You know, it wasn't just the Romans and the Jews that were there that killed him. That's, you know, we'd like to point the finger of blame and go, well, you know, it was yeah. Roman soldiers that did it. Well, it was the high yeah. priest that did it.
Yes.
No. Jesus said, I lay my life down willingly. Mm-hmm. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again.
Yeah.
And I give my life. You know, he gives us life freely.
Freely.
That we have life.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
And this is something that, I mean, and again, if you're listening to this show, this is the first time you've heard this kind of talk, pay attention to this very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to understand that you are diseased.
Yeah.
This is just like being bit by the serpent and you've got the venom and you've got a certain amount of time to live and then you're going to die from mm-hmm. the venom. It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Now, you may think that sounds ridiculous and you're not going to fall over dead from a snake bite, you know, later tonight, but the analogy of it is the same.
Exactly.
And yeah. when God said to Moses, this is the only way this is going to be cured. Jesus says of himself, I'm the only cure for sin, which is your disease. No one comes to the Father but by me.
Yeah.
No one is going to come into the kingdom except through me. Yeah. I'm the door. You know, we talked about the sheepfold. We talked about all these things in previous programs. Right. It only if somebody comes who isn't me, they're a thief and a marauder.
Yeah.
I'm the only true one.
Because they're not willing to lay their life down for
the serpent
sheep.
Was the only cure. I'm the only cure for sin.
Mm-hmm.
And the break. Ooh, this is good.
Paul's back.
Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. In fact, if you go to the teaching part of our website, you can hear a more detailed study of the bronze serpent, which is an audio teaching. We'll be right back.
I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. For your name is holy, holy, Lord. For your name is holy. To worship you only, I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I
your name.
Lord. You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Wow.
That's a very powerful song.
That is an awesome song. Oof. That's entering into the presence of the Lord.
Exactly. And
through the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah. And I think it's a very powerful way to look at what salvation is,
mm-hmm.
where you realize that you can't approach, and God makes it very clear in the Torah when he gives all these instructions on how everything is set up,
mm-hmm.
that you don't just go, you know, popping through the curtain to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just go up and say to the high priest, hey, what's happening?
What's happening in there? What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you guys doing in there? And you realize that they knew that they were separated. Didn't keep them from rebellion, but they knew that they were separated.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, and you know, the analogy, of course, is that now, by the blood of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, now the veil's broken, and now we can approach the throne boldly. The
veil's removed, yeah.
And this thing with the curse, you know, the serpent was a curse that went on the people because mm-hmm. they were sinful.
Right.
And Jesus was made a curse. And in Galatians, do you have Galatians 3?
Right? I do have a Galatians in my Bible.
I love Galatians 3, 13 and 14. But, you know, people say, well, you know, what's this? You know, if you're making an analogy between the bronze serpent and Jesus on the cross, the bronze serpent on the pole, what did the serpent have to do with Jesus? Jesus isn't a serpent. But the serpent, of course, is a symbol of sin. It's a symbol of deceit. It's a symbol of Satan deceiving Eve, Adam and Eve. It's a symbol of sin. And as you're going to see in this passage, Jesus was made a curse for us because he took our curse on himself. Mm-hmm. And so that's why the serpent was on the cross. Go ahead, Steve, on the pole. Go ahead.
But the law does not depend on faith. Rather, the one who does these things will live by them. Christ ransomed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed be everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might be extended to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Mm. So Jesus becomes a curse. You know, when you watch the Passion of the Christ, you see a horrible physical death unfold.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really see the spiritual part of it. But the spiritual agony of it is that the sin of the world is put on him.
Right.
My sin, your sin, everybody who's ever lived sin.
Right. And that's why Jesus cries out, you know, yeah, Abba.
Exactly. Dad,
or, you know, why have you forsaken me?
That's right.
Because he was experiencing separation from God.
It was overwhelming.
Because of sin.
Yes, exactly. And he becomes the curse. This is why the serpent was on the pole. This is why he says the Son of Man is going to be lifted up, just like Moses lifted up the serpent. You know, Paul writes that he becomes a curse so that we may get the promise. He becomes the curse, he becomes the serpent so that we can get the cure.
Yeah.
That the venom comes out of us. So the curse becomes the cure.
Mm-hmm.
And the prefigurements and the types are in the bronze serpent. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, which is, of course, one of my favorite passages along with 14,000 others, he says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin. To be sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. He who did not know sin became sin. Mm-hmm. He became the curse so that we can be saved from the curse.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think about this 20 times a day. Yeah. It's mind-boggling.
And, you know, it leads us to a place of becoming a new creation in Christ.
Exactly.
Because we are in our old self. You know, Jesus talks about the new and the wineskins. You can't pour new wine into an old wineskin.
Yeah.
You know, the Spirit wants to renew us.
Sure.
And make us new. It's not about becoming someone or something you're not. It's about becoming the person that God's created you to be already.
Amen.
And recognizing that. You know, God, we're adopted children into the kingdom, and we need to act like children of the King.
Yeah, exactly. And it seems like a foolish plan. You know, the cross is foolishness, so they're perishing.
Yeah.
Do you, if you're listening to this show and you're not a believer and you're, you know, 20 years old and nobody's ever taught you these things, you say, what in the world are these guys talking about? And, you know, serpents and crosses and blood, and I mean, it all sounds ridiculous. It sounds foolishness.
To the world, yeah.
To the world, it sounds foolish. In other words, if you or I were to make a plan to redeem mankind, would we make this plan? No, we would make a much simpler plan. We'd say, we'll just forget about all the sin. Can we just like forget about it?
Yeah.
You know, can we like not make a big deal about it?
And mm-hmm.
Just relax, be cool, and we would enjoy ourselves.
We would turn into Peter.
Yeah.
And do things humanly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But this is the plan. Seems foolish. It's foolishness to those that are perishing. For those mm-hmm. of us, though, that are being saved, we understand this is the power of God unto salvation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I say, we've got the cure, and the people that are out there in the world, they're really in need of a cure.
They need the cure.
And we've got the cure. We can tell them about the cure. So for those of you that want, you know, your faith to be a private matter, you may be subjecting your friends and neighbors to the curse, to the venom of the serpent, mm-hmm. by not telling them what the cure is.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and if you're listening and you're wrestling with something right now, and I would just invite you to take a moment and reflect upon the cross that Jesus died upon, and to come to that place of looking upon him, asking for forgiveness, and being saved in his name, in the name of Messiah.
Amen. Wow. Very powerful show. Well, I hope you all had an awesome Lord's Day. We'll be back next week.
See you next week, everyone. God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.